happy or merry Christmas Eve. This is Artemis Thinker. You're listening to Conservative Reality Check, and I'm so excited to be here with you on this very, very sacred and beloved day of the year. Wow, I can't believe we're already to December 24th. I just want to thank you all so much for tuning in, checking us out. We have over 1,000 people either subscribed or participating in our MeWe community, checking us out on Rumble, checking us out on BitChute, or across our podcasting platforms through anchor.fm or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm super excited. It's really fantastic. And I really appreciate you guys. I'm getting ready to rebrand this this podcast in 2021, as well as get the Artemis Thinking and Artemis Thinker websites up and running in January. So I'm super excited about that and really see if we can explode this podcast. So thanks so much. I am going to jump right in. It's been a couple of days since I've done a podcast, and I recognize that. And I am so sorry it's taken me away. Life and work have kind of taken me away from the podcast, but I'm back. And I will tell you that there's a lot going on now. There's even more happening next week. And then the first week in January, things are going to be just popping. So let's just dive right in. The first thing I want to share with you, as always, is the show notes down below are going to be links to lots of great stuff. So if you want links to anything, make sure you check out the show notes. As always, drop a comment down there. I would love to hear from you. So let me dive right in. Peter Navarro dropped his 2020 election report on December 16th. It's a PDF, about 38 pages or so, and it pretty well details the election shenanigans from across the country, especially in the contested states. So I'm going to show you here in just a second what that looks like. But down below is the link to the report, to the updated report, and to the really awesome matrix I'm getting ready to share with you right now, which is, I'm going to say, kind of like the Cliff Notes version, the one pager version of what all is going on in those states. And I want to just share this with you because of all the things that happened last week, I think the dropping of this report was particularly important because it gave us the opportunity to check out the actual data and the actual behaviors of things that were happening across the country on election night. And it gives us really a simple to understand and simple to digest set of circumstances and facts around what happened in six different states. So I'm going to share that with you in just a second. I'm also going to talk to you about a little bit about what I think is getting ready to happen over the next couple of weeks. And I want you definitely to pay really close attention to that, because I think there's a lot of interesting things going on that we all need to be, you know, paying some, you know, strong attention to. So I'm going to jump into just one aspect of this Navarro report. I'm going to share this with you right now. This is the overview document. This is actually a really big piece, but this is just the one page slide, and it's actually narrated in Vimeo. So you can actually go through and listen to this, but I want to just go ahead and tell you for my own sake, a little bit about what you see here. So Peter has put together this really brilliant slide, and across the top here, you see Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. So those are the six states where shenanigans happen. The report goes through and talks about these six different types of election irregularities that happened. And then in the report, he defines each one of these six and gives at least an example or two of how that happened. And in the report, it actually, in the bottom, shows you tally numbers of the impact. So let me see if I can pull that up here really quick too, because I feel like that's actually an even better example of, you know, what exactly happened on election night. So let me grab that really quickly here and pull that table up and then reshare this with you. He's giving you the summary, and there's a really great one that has the summary and this one right here. I'm going to make this big in the report, and I'm going to share this one with you too. So let me do a new share. Let me grab that report. There we go. All right, so hopefully you can see it now. So this is the same table, but he's also added some really interesting numbers and data here on the bottom about the Biden victory margin and the possible number of illegal ballots by state. And you'll notice in here the checkboxes and the stars. So the checkboxes indicate widespread evidence of these irregularities by state. And the star or the asterisk is some evidence is witnessed in these six states. Now, for those of you who are just solely on the podcast, not watching this on video, I want to just share with you, this is table two of his report, and it's straight up table, a 6x6 table that has Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin across the top. And then down the left, it has six different types of voter irregularities that happened across the states. And then again, at the bottom, it tells you about the Biden victory margin and then the possible illegal ballots. And I will tell you, in every single one of these cases, except for Michigan, the possible illegal ballot votes is, you know, far, far, far exceeds the Biden victory. The Michigan one, the total possible illegal ballots is unknown. And that's because they just, all evidence has been removed. So it's really hard to tell exactly what that would look like. So here I want to just talk really quickly about what these six things are. And then I'm going to encourage you to go take a look at the report. So there's, you know, straight up outright voter fraud. This is just, you know, people just basically going out and claiming that they are someone that they are not. It's a lot of, I guess in the most simplest way, there's many ways to do it, but it's just simply people voting who are not those people. So dead people voting. People voting for other people voting multiple times, people voting for other family members, etc. So there's a widespread, there's a pretty simple definition for the outright voter fraud, which is voting on behalf of somebody else. And there's a lot of different ways this manifested. You'll see that it was very clear that there's widespread evidence of this in Arizona, Georgia, Nevada, and Wisconsin, and some evidence of this in Michigan and Pennsylvania. Ballot mishandling. This could be anything from counting ballots multiple times to straight up just letting ballots that should never have been able to be counted to begin with because there were irregularities on the ballot to be processed. That happened in every state but Arizona. So there was a lot of ballot mishandling. Constable process fouls is the chain of custody piece. And that one was available in a widespread way across all six states. So if that could be anything from how the ballots moved from a drop box to the counting location, it could be anything. I mean, it can include, the chain of custody pieces of ballots happen everywhere, basically is what this means. So it's everything having to do with the ballot security as it moved from wherever it was dropped to where it was counted or even afterwards. The fourth one here is equal protection clause violation. So the rules weren't followed equally across Republicans and Democrats or for all people in an election process. So that happened across all of the states. Voting machine irregularities happened in a widespread way across all of the states except for Wisconsin. It did happen. There is some evidence of it in Wisconsin. They just don't have it. They wouldn't classify it yet as widespread. It does not mean that that won't become a check mark at some point in time. They just haven't found it as widely probably as the other five states. So Wisconsin around voting machine irregularities, not as prevalent as the other states. And then significant statistical anomalies. These were the votes were going. And then all of a sudden Trump backpedaled in his numbers and Biden kept going, or these massive dumps in the middle of the night or any of those kind of things. So that's really what we're talking about with that. That happened across all of the states except for Pennsylvania, which I'm not sure if that's true or not, but that's what he has up here on his table. So again, this is a really great report. I share this with you. I'm going to stop here real quickly. I share this with you because the the information in this report is just, they're really great talking points. So I know a lot of you, if you're like me, have got tons of friends who for a long time were saying, there's no proof. There's plenty of proof. The Navarro report provides an enormous amount of proof and the numbers are on that table. So even if you just shared the table with people, I think it's fascinating and a fascinating conversation. So the Peter Navarro report, very important this week. I'm going to jump over now into some other fun news of the week that I thought was also really important, which is the president dropped two videos this week that were really interesting. Earlier in the week was his the COVID relief bill video, which I think is probably the most significant of all of the ones that he's done recently, which basically just said, you know what, we're not playing. $600 is a joke. A minimum of 2,000 is what you need to do. Plus, by the way, drop all the pork that's in these in this bill. We'll see what winds up happening with that. But at the end of the day, him putting his foot down on this, I think, is really, really crucial. And it basically is an act done by a man who is quite certain he's going to have a second term. So I think you all need to take note of that. All right. The second really big thing that he did is he did several appointments this last week of kind of heavy hitters and into appointed positions within the government. And some of these people are super strong MAGA folks. And so I think that you got to take note of some of those appointments as well. And I also want to point you to the Baghdad bombing that happened this week. So again, kind of flew under the radar of a lot of different news organizations, but our embassy in Baghdad was bombed again this week. And they actually found three missiles that actually did not wind up detonating, and they were from Iran. And the president posted a tweet a couple of days ago, and I want to read to you what it said. It says, ... some friendly health advice to Iran. If one American is killed, I will hold Iran responsible. Think it over. So again, fighting words from a man who I'm quite certain is going to continue to be our president and serve a second term. He's certainly not acting like a lame duck president. And I would take note of that, you guys. I would take note. The other thing I would also note to you, and one of the things I am particularly conscious of, is the fact that the president's demeanor and tone since Election Day has really shifted. He hasn't been that loud, boisterous, rally the troops kind of guy, although he has done rallies. So I get it down in Atlanta or in Georgia. So I get that. But he has been very introspective and purposeful. You've seen now this COVID relief video is the second kind of staged video that he's done in the White House that where we basically read from a teleprompter. The first one was the one around about the elections about 3 weeks ago that he did. And so just note that the tone of the messaging has shifted to a very serious, very presidential tone. You're going to see more of this in January. I guarantee you. You might even see more of it starting next week. So I think that's going to be a fun thing. So here's, I want to give you a little bit of a little bit of guidance that I'm giving some of my really close friends and family right now. Because I've had a lot of people this last week, I've gone to dinner a couple times with some friends of mine and they keep asking, well, what do you think is going to happen? What do you think 2021 is going to look like? What's going to happen on January 6th? So I'm going to share with you right now what I think is going to happen. I hope I'm right. I actually do think based on what I'm hearing that I am, but I want to preface this by saying it's also possible that I'm not. So, and I say that only because on some levels, I hope I'm not. On other levels, I am quite certain that I'm good to go on what I'm going to share. So here's what I'm going to tell you. Today and tomorrow, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, are very sacred days. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your friends. reach out to people you haven't talked to in a while. Tell them you're thinking about them. Tell them you love them. Let them know how you feel. Straighten out relationships that have kind of gone sideways. Extend the olive branch. Okay, that's going to be really important moving forward. Okay, and do it in a way where you're not expecting anything in return. Okay, just extend the olive branch and let that be. This is a very, very sacred day. It is not lost on me that the Christmas star show revealed itself this week in this year. You know, I think it's a pretty incredible thing. And so there are big things at work here, way beyond us, that I think we have to acknowledge on some level too. We're in a really good place as conservatives. Okay. We're in a really good place. It may not feel like it because we have, as a collective group of 74 to 80 million of us, we have been the punching bag for 4+ years. And it's painful and it sucks, to be perfectly honest with you. And I get that. But the tide is changing. It's going to change fast. And while your liberal friends are sitting down tomorrow for Christmas, if they celebrate it, they're going to be celebrating the new year thinking that Biden is going to be their president for the next 4 years and how fantastic that's going to be and how great it's going to be to get the orange man out of the White House and all this other shenanigans and all of the other crazy things that the news media is concocting right now about Donald Trump. Okay. That's how they're viewing 2021 incredibly optimistically. They're getting rid of 4 years of baggage and corruption and all this other kind of stuff. And the reality is they have no idea what's getting ready to come. No idea. Okay. And we have got to keep in mind that they're coming from a place of misinformation and they're not going to respond well when everything gets revealed, and it will be revealed very, very soon. Here's what I think realistically is probably going to happen over the next 30 days. I believe that, so yesterday was Attorney General Bill Barr's last day. I have got some really interesting information this week, which I'm not going to divulge the details of, but what I am going to say is there are probably some really good reasons why Bill Barr decided to spend the holidays with family and not be working. You'll note he did not resign. I don't know that he really didn't. Obviously he's not doing his job and there is an interim attorney general. There's a lot of interesting speculation as to whether or not he will come back after the holidays in January or not. I don't know which way that's going to go, but let me just say this. There are really good reasons why, if in fact my information is true, and I believe it is, it's from a very, very strong source, I would tell you that there's a really good reason why he left, and it's not what you think. And so I would put faith in the fact that this man has served this government for a really, really long time, came out of retirement to serve the pleasure of the president, did a good job. Could he have done more? Probably, but I think we're going to have a lot of stuff revealed to us over the next couple of weeks that are going to provide light and clarity to his departure or whatever it is that's going on right now. Okay. So I'm going to leave that piece kind of there. I'm also going to tell you that you're going to start hearing a lot of misinformation, and that is going to continue to ramp up faster and faster as we get closer to January 6th, and then as we move into January 20th, okay? The misinformation that is going to be out there is going to be astounding, and it's going to be very hard to sort through the truth and the lies. It's going to be even harder, I should say, because right now it's already getting mucky, but it's going to get incredibly dark to figure out what is true and what is not over the next couple of weeks. So what I would ask you to do is just stick with your tried and true news sources and don't try to stick to the day-to-day. I'm doing that for myself and I'm providing that here in these podcasts because I'm weeding through an awful lot of BS and really leveraging my network here in DC to really be able to provide this information to you. But if I'm not sure of something, I'll tell you. I'll kind of give you, hey, I'm about 50% sure of this or 80% sure of this, or I've got it from a good legitimate source, not like a, you know, there's a lot of people out there that say they've got sources and whatever, but at the same time, it's like, oh, no, you don't. So I just want to share that with you. Your liberal friends are going to go catatonic in January. They just are. Here's what my guess is. There was a lot of conversation about Vice President Pence pulling his kind of nuclear option and not acknowledging the Democrat electors from some of these states that we just talked about. They're not going to do that. I don't think Trump is going to do this. I think what he's really trying to do is he's trying to let the legitimate, constitutionally valid methods play out. And that is all leveraged on January 6th and the electors not being counted that are in these states that we just talked about. Okay. So I think part of this is he wants to follow the process for a number of reasons, which are all right and good. And he doesn't want to usurp that process because as soon as he does, he's going to wind up losing some public credibility in this process. And he needs that, by the way, for what's getting ready to come. All right. So he can't just go rogue and do whatever the hell he wants over the next couple of weeks because he needs to continue to build on the trust that we as supporters of him have in that. He doesn't need to lose any of us in that process. And so part of this is trying to keep as wide of a net cast as possible to keep as many conservatives allied with him. And you guys are doing an amazing job. We have been putting a lot of pressure, making phone calls, sending emails, and on our local legislators, as well as those in Georgia and these swing states, and you're starting to see this stuff turn around really quickly. I think what's starting to happen is legislators, they're like kryptonite is public opinion. And to the degree that they get thousands of phone calls and thousands of emails from wherever they get them from, they know the power of the constituency behind it. Even if you're not, in Georgia, for example, but you're calling the legislature or the legislators there or sending emails or going down there to do your thing, like all of that stuff impacts and does sway politicians. So just know that that works. It works here in DC too. So on the Michigan, on the election front, that's a play. So if you want to know how do I get involved, you need to start tuning in to the places that are kind of giving you the information in the 411 on who to contact. Again, I've been watching Steve Bannon's War Room. It's on at 10 a.m. and 5 p.m. Eastern time. I watch it on YouTube, but you can catch him on lots of different platforms. So just know that he's out there and it's twice a day updates on what's going on. And he's got all of the key people kind of in play there. He has, I think they have a townhouse in DC or townhouse here in Northern Virginia. I can't remember which, but that's where they run and film the War Room from. And it's a really good show to kind of keep up with what's going on. Even if you don't like Steve Bannon, and there are people that love him, people that don't. I don't care one way or the other, but I find it as a really good, one of many good sources of information on there. So that's that. So, okay. So this gets us to January 6th. So January 6th, the electors, the votes are going to be counted by Vice President Pence as the president of the Senate. Many states have these swing states all have provided both Democrat and Republican electors. So there's going to be some interesting stuff going on. One of the things you can do is contact your U.S. Senator, you have two from your state, plus your local U.S. House rep, and tell them you want them to contest the Democrat electors from those six states that I just showed you. Okay, that's what we want to have happen. We need as many, you only need one from the House and one from the Senate to contest it in order for them to have to do a two-hour debate and then come up with a solution for that. And usually I think if they don't, then it kicks back to the state and the state provides one elector or the final elector for that consideration. But I just want to share with you, that is the route I believe that the president is putting his anchor in, right? He's letting that constitutional process happen and it needs to. So that's good. Here's what I think is going to wind up happening at the end. I don't know that that whole process will be finished on January 6th. I think it is possible that when it has to go back to the states, and I don't know what the timeline is on that. To be honest with you, I need to figure that out. But I believe by January 16th, all of these votes have to be finalized so that on January 20th, the new president is inaugurated. And that January 20th date is a constitutionally mandated date. That's the only date between now and then that's mandated by the Constitution. So that's a thing. I believe on January 6th, if President Trump does not get to 270 electors, that there are going to be sitting in DC tens of thousands of patriots who are coming in from all over the country to rally in a positive way for President Trump. But that positivity could turn into something not so positive on January 6th. If Trump does get the Electoral College votes, that becomes a incredible party followed by incredible destruction by Antifa. And at that point in time, I can't tell you exactly what I think the president's going to do. That he's going to have to quash the Antifa destruction that happens. I think he's going to be fine. And I think everybody's fine with peaceful protests, but people are not fine with destruction and whatnot that Antifa has done across this country. And so I think that is going to become a very dangerous scenario really, really quickly. So I think that you've got to watch that. And then based on what happens on the 6th and which way things are leaning, I think you're going to wind up seeing a couple weeks of tumultuous behavior by the fringes. And even some mainstream folks kind of on either side of things, depending on who winds up actually coming out the winner of the Electoral College vote. And I think along with that and leading up to January 6th, I think we're going to start getting a massive dump of information from a range of sources about the corruption of the Democrats historically. I think we're going to start seeing an awful lot of truths being laid out with proof about the shady business with China, who all is involved. And I said this weeks ago, it's going to include both Republicans and Democrats. We're already starting to see the nut crack in Georgia with all of the corruption going on between China and politicians in Georgia on both sides of the aisle. So I think this stuff is just getting ready to open up and the floodgates are getting ready to let loose. I wouldn't be surprised if WikiLeaks does a massive dump over the next week or so and starts sharing an awful lot of information about what transpired over, you know, in the Obama administration. So I think we're all going to get like a tidal wave of information dumped on us that's going to help provide some clarity for the electors in the Electoral College vote on January 6th. And I think that will continue into January. So I think that's all in play. All right, you're starting to hear about some crazy stuff at the White House and the president not being surrounded by people he can trust and people kind of turning on him and people wanting him to concede the election. There's been recent conversation this week about Sidney Powell fall out of grace with the president? No, she did not, just so you know. There's just a lot of interesting stuff going on in the city. I will tell you, on election day, the night before and the night after election day, you can't get a hotel room easily in the bigger hotels in DC right now, especially Trump Tower has been closed down for reservations for a long time. So I'm going to be honest with you. I feel pretty strongly that not only is President Trump going to win, but that that truth around a lot of this stuff is going to come out very, very early. And I think the next 30 days are going to be game changers for the and transformational for this country. And I think that a lot of truth is going to be had that the liberals are not going to be able to wrap their head around, because they're actually getting ready to find out that the fundamental belief system that they have for this country is actually a sham. I wanted to do a podcast on this a couple of years ago to talk about what happens when your fundamental belief system, especially your political belief system, gets completely implodes. What do you do? And I think that's really where the liberals are. I think that they're going to find out really, really soon that this is just everything they thought about the Democrat Party is actually, it's all been a shell game. They've been used and manipulated and lied to and horribly by the news media and all of their pundits, beloved pundits, and all their beloved politicians, and that there is massive corruption in the Democrat Party. And it is, it's going to come to light really soon. So that's a really crazy place to be, you know? It's a really hard place to be. So I share that with you because I was asked to do kind of an end of year thing, what's going on. And I feel pretty solid in those statements. So, all right, you guys, it is Christmas Eve. It is for me, the afternoon of Christmas Eve. I have things to go do and preparations to make. I want you guys to be safe and be blessed. For those of you who are celebrating Christmas Eve or Christmas Day alone this year, or in a very limited way, I just want to tell you that my heart is with you. I have been there. I definitely understand where you're at, and just hold your faith in God that He is good and gracious. Take good care of yourself. Maybe create some new traditions that you just do on your own this year. If you can get out and go for a walk and get some fresh air, it really helps too, but connect with people that you love, find a way to do that formally or informally. Even if it's just as simple as writing some letters to people, some old fashioned letters, or you just get out pen and paper and just write some people some letters. I think you'll find it makes the day go easier if you take care of yourself on these special days. And if you're celebrating it by yourself, I'm with you. I'm definitely with you. God bless every single one of you guys. Thank you again so much for listening. We are going to keep the ball rolling. I'm going to keep doing these over this next week. I am around. I'm not going anywhere for holidays. So I'm here, and I'm going to be spending some time with my crew tomorrow. And I'm excited about that. So God bless you guys. Thank you so much. This is episode 16 of Conservative Reality Check. Thank you guys so much for listening.